Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Grady Judd is the blunt sheriff in what, Pinellas, I think, is where I have
in
my head.
Polk County.
Polk County. Oh, no, that's right, Polk County. Anyway, so this was a bizarre case. I guess what this former boyfriend had broken into her house and she called her brother over for help, right?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here, and that led to that comment. She had broken up with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend comes back to the house and forces his way into the trailer, forces his way inside, batters her. I am privy to the video. There's a video of this, and
like she had security video inside.
She had video inside.
Okay, all right.
Place. And he slaps her around a bit. She asked him to leave. I would estimate, I have not counted them all, at least 15 to 20 times. Leave. He refuses to do so. She, I guess, unbeknownst to him, texts her family who was nearby, staying nearby, lives nearby, whatever.
Okay.
So they came in, like the cavalry. They
more,
came
more
in.
Than one? Multiple
there was,
people?
There was three people came
oh,
in.
Oh, okay.
I think her aunt and some other, another individual came in with her, I think it's her brother.
Yeah.
And then they get into a tussle, a fight, a bit of a fight, as you can imagine. And then at one point, the ultimate shooting victim is let up, and he is about to leave, and then he turns around with a handgun, and he points it at, and I believe he actually fires the first round.
Oh, okay.
To which the other individual shoots and kills him.
Okay.
So again, I made that comment because because I mean it. If someone were to point a gun at me, they're liable to get shot, and I want. You know, that same reasonableness standard as we talk about
many times,
years and
yeah.
years. If it sounds reasonable, you can protect yourself or others, and you can do that in Escambia County.
Self-defense is justified. Self-defense inside your home is justified. Defense of others inside a home is justified. These are all, you know, sort of core obvious self-defense parameters. And yeah, wow. I mean, it's, and so, you know, there would be no charges because it's self-defense, right?
We are not going to charge.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. You had another case. Jarvis Johnson, 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson, was the victim. This was on Emerald Avenue in Escambia County over the weekend, I think on Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct. About 10:30 in the morning, we get a call of shots fired. Our deputy was nearby. We were there within probably 2 minutes. And then when we get there, we find that there was a male that was deceased in what I think is his front yard. But because we were there so quickly, we established a perimeter and had canines. And so the question was whether, you know, why did we have canines out if we weren't looking for someone? Because if you get there fast enough and you think that someone's going to be on foot, potentially, we want to make sure that we don't, you know, lose that opportunity.
Right.
And so that's what we did. We weren't able to locate, the dogs weren't able to locate a suspect. So we are asking if anyone has information to please let us know. The interesting fact about this case is the same victim was shot in May, and we weren't really getting a lot of information about that particular one. So we're trying to figure out whether these are connected, whether they're related, whether the May thing led into the thing that happened on Saturday or some sort of a continuing escalation.
I am assuming that you are assuming that nobody gets shot in their yard twice within 6 months by sheer accident.
It's yes. That's correct.
This is not just
stupid.
This is not just like, you know, an ordinary citizen is just out in the yard one day and what'd you say, March or April, and they get shot, and then
May.
And then again in September and they get shot in the yard. Man, unlucky.
Yeah, again, you know? I don't know the circumstances surrounding this one. It appears to be close quarters, or it's not a drive by. It was something that happened someone close, and it does not appear random. I'll tell you that. In May, the statement was he was taking his garbage out and ends up getting shot by an unknown person. You know, seems a little far-fetched at the time, and now that we're looking at piecing these things together,
right.
You know, we're trying to see exactly what took place. So, again, if someone has information and they want to come forward with that.
Just because we were talking about these two shooting incidents, where are we at with the shot spotter?
We have been meeting with the individuals and representatives from ShotSpotter. We do have the money It's a grant that comes around $400,000 a year that what we're getting. We have met with them. They've figured out the locations to put the, for the 3 mile perimeter in Escambia County. And the next step is to go ahead and actually put those up on the poles and integrate those with our real-time crime center, which should probably up and running by November.
Okay. Where's the location? Because that was the last I heard it was you guys were not decided yet.
On the location for ShotSpotter?
Uh-huh.
It's a 3 mile area encompassing Montclair and Mayfair.
Okay.
It's just those two areas. We used a heat map as to when the reported shots were over the last year or so, mm-hmm. and that seemed to be the area with the highest shots. Now, the city of Pensacola also has a 3 mile area, and I don't know what their area is, but a lot of downtown.
Oh, they're not. You guys are not collaborating on the region.
We're aware of it, but we're each doing our own. Right?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
We apply for the appropriation. The sheriff's office did on behalf of us and the Pensacola Police Department. So we. We pretty much carry the water on that one.
All right, we'll have to ask the mayor about that tomorrow. Very good. One of the other sort of things that's come up a bunch recently, well, I guess we had one more incident I wanted to talk about. Ian Foster fled your deputies in a stolen truck. Is that right?
Yeah, it used to be where fleeing a deputy or fleeing from law enforcement would be a isolated experience, but
yeah.
we seem to have a lot of people doing that. Let me tell you what's going on with these stolen cars and what we have seen. People are stealing cars, and then they're letting them sit for a couple of days, and then they're going back and using these cars to do drive-by shootings. We know that. We see that, and we're not stupid. So I told our deputies, I said, we're going to go ahead and stealing a car and being a stolen car is a felony. We're going to go ahead and chase these cars as long as it's safe to do so. And not only that, we're going to try to end these pursuits as quickly as we possibly can. Because they may be heading towards a drive-by shooting. They may be heading from a drive-by shooting. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's not.
They're not just joyriding.
Don't get caught in a stolen car and try to run from deputies. Because there's a reason, first of all, you're in a stolen car. Secondly, there's a reason that you're running. This particular individual, even after he crashed, he tried to ram 3 or 4 of our cars. Actually, I think he ran 4 or 5 of our cars.
Wow.
Before he was finally, pulled mm-hmm. from the car and taken into custody. So, we're going to send him a bill for all of our bumpers and that sort of thing and all the time it took, and hopefully stays in jail for a while. But I think it's always important, especially yesterday being September 11th and the first responders and the work that they do, to understand that our deputies are out there day in, day out, and they're chasing people that have bad intentions.
And this was W and Jackson, I think, is where this ended
That's
up.
Correct.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay. One of the other things that's kind of come up recently is talking about, dealing with the homeless issue. And, you had made some comments that were interpreted as wanting a task force, wanting to spend money, thinking you could spend money better than, I guess, the city and the county are doing. But what's the truth here? What's going on with the homeless in the county from your perspective?
Yeah, the question that was presented to me was, would we work with the Board of County Commissioners on maybe, hardening up our ordinances, creating better ordinances, because we feel like, and our legal team feels like, the existing ordinances that are on file are under constitutional challenge throughout the state, including all the trespassing, the panhandling, and all of that. And so my response was, sure, I'll be glad to work with the county commission and see if we can come to something. And then the question led into, what is the issues here? What do I see? And I made reference. I feel bad for the business owners that have to deal with some of the despicable acts that these people do, right in the sidewalks, right in front of them, and I feel bad. And I. Maybe a little snarkily, but I did say, if you want to give me some of the millions of dollars you have to spend on homelessness, I will create an engagement unit, mm-hmm. not a task force, but a unit, and we will concentrate solely on the homeless issue. I will have 8 deputies or so, and that's what they would do. They would help them find the resources that are available, but they will also put those that are violating the laws in jail. We can take care of that. We can help you. Help yourselves if you wanted to give us some of that money. Now, the newspaper mentioned that I was going to go to them and ask for it. I'm not going to do that. But if they really want to make use of the money, because I'll be honest, I'm not sure exactly where all the money has gone to.
Sure.
And they don't invite me to their meetings. Thank God. but I'm just telling you, if they want if they want to, if that money's burned a hole in their pocket, I can make use of it.
Well, I would say at the city, the money burnt a hole in the pocket already, and at the county, it's like locked up in a vault in their pocket. So I don't, you know, they can't quite figure out which end of that spectrum they want to be on.
I was simply giving them an option.
You were saying I could help. I know some things that we could do. All right, very good. Hey, we always like to end on a good note, which is the 25, I think, graduates of the Female Blazer Academy. Is that right?
Yeah, last Tuesday we had our graduation ceremony, second Female Blazer Academy, and I was lucky enough to be, and fortunate enough to have been a part of, I actually taught two separate sessions of this class. And the difference between the young men's and the young women's class is they are all similar in that the growth and the from one meeting to the next, but the Female Blazer Academy is a lot more vocal. They're a lot more willing to talk about their future than the young men were. The young men, we had to pull it out of them.
Right.
What goals do you have? I don't know. I don't have anything. Uh-huh. The young women have goal after goal after goal.
And let me show you my binder.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of goals, goal number 12 is this and that. And it's a very rewarding experience. We were able to be at the Sanger Theater for our graduation. We walked across the street to the Global Grill. Every time I finish one of these classes, every time we look at the faces and these young men and women, where they're decked out in their blazers, and they, you know, we give them a little gift, we do a little toast to them. It just kind of, you know, reassures you that our future is not in bad hands after all.
I love this program. It's how many agencies have been copying this program now, or do you know?
Yeah, I don't know how many agencies have copied
implemented.
Exactly. I know that, again, I mentioned that it's the program of the year for the state of Florida. So when we went down to get the award, before I got to my seat, four agencies, you know, gave me a card, said, hey, can you have someone call me with it? So I think that there are a number of agencies that are doing a version of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty heavy lift, quite frankly, but it's worth it whenever you look at the time that you're giving to to our area youth. Not all of them are at risk. Some
sure.
are. Some are from AMI kids and boys based, and we have had some that are actually convicted of certain of crimes. But it's just a great group of people. We're not tolerating any nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a great back and forth. It's a great opportunity to give the kids what I think they really need, and that's time.
No, it's a beautiful program. It really is. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for talking to our audience here, and then obviously thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.